Hi, I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Welcome back to Hot Topics, Cool Friends. I'm Wendy and
I'm Lori.
Lori's over there, yes. We have got a special guest, powerhouse vocalist and performer Trez Gregory with us. Hey, Trez.
Hi, ladies.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you.
I know we typically have, 30 minutes, but we definitely could spend hours talking to Trez about all the things.
She's kind of a big deal.
She's kind of a big deal.
Well, I've done some things. Got out of town for a while.
Yeah. You know, before we have guests on, I try to do some research. And half the time I don't end up using what my notes are because I know Lori knows a lot more about you than I do. But
yeah, I read her notes. I go, oh,
I already knew that.
Yeah. I love it.
Some of it. I knew you went to Nashville. For how long did you live there?
I was there for 12 years.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Did you love it? I was
there at the perfect time, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it, but before it really exploded and before some of the down-homeness left. So I was there in a perfect 12 years. It was really great. Mm-hmm. Yes, perfect timing.
Did you live, when you live in Nashville, do you usually live downtown Nashville? How's that?
I absolutely did not. I lived in Franklin, which was 25 minutes south, which was also perfect. But I did end up, I bartended when I first moved there. I had a job at P.F. Chang's. I worked there for 9 months. But I got quickly affiliated with the blues club there. And I actually went back and forth 7 times before I moved. And my 5th or 6th time, I followed this couple. This couple said down in Broadway, they go, where's the grown-up music? And I thought, yeah, that's what I want to know. And so I followed them to the blues club. And that was it. I was like, oh, my God. I found the magic place.
Your
it was
home.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so then I moved there 3 or 4 months later permanently, and I waited tables one night, and then I bartended at P.F. Chang's like 5 days.
Okay.
So I sat in one night, and a gentleman heard me, and he came into my bar, and he said, would you want to be my backup vocalist at the club across from the blues club that they were opening for a year, if that makes sense. They were going to rent this club and open it. It was Boots Randolph's old club from back in the day. And I said, he was great. His Anthony Gomes, and he's all over Facebook right now. And Anthony was the first person to hire me. And he's now a 2-time Grammy Award winner, I believe.
Yeah.
And Gretchen Wilson and I were his backup vocalists when he first started there in Printer's Alley. So I said, how much money am I going to make? He said, $300 a week. And I was making like $700 to $1,000. I'm just being real.
Yeah.
So if I, on my chapter in my book would be, that's when I started starving because I wasn't making enough money.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, dang, I didn't come to Nashville to bartend at P.F. Chang's forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I stepped out on it, and I did it. And that was a really great move on my part, even though there were a lot of struggles, you know. And where I lived, it was kind of an affluent area. So, you know, as always, there's a yin and a yang. So the yang was I got to sing with Gretchen right before she launched. I got to sing with Anthony Gomes. I recorded with him on three of his albums. And that put me in a great place because Bourbon Street Blues and Boogie Bar, the blues club that rented this club to open, they were like my home base. So they were very excited for me because I was their little, you know, new little chickadee in town. And here I am working for them, you know, full time. I was the only full time musician there for a solid year. And I was in 4 different groups. They kept firing groups and then moving me to this other band. And then they fire the band and they'd move me to the next band. And by the 3rd band, I was like, are you guys, what's going on? You're scaring me. You know, I'm already not making any money.
Yeah.
And you keep firing the bands. Well, the very last band, that was smart that they did that. And the last band was the Soul Searchers, which was my fantastic, fabulous soul band that I was in for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And they changed my life. And so, you know, God, I just had a lot of God and a lot of angels around me. And now that I look back, it stressed me out, but it all just really fell into place lovely. Mm-hmm. And that ended. They were open from, I think it was 2002 to 2003, I believe, was the Congo Square was the name of that club. And they were open for 1 year, and I was in every band there. So that was cool, and I got to do a lot of different music that I'd never done. And I loved it all. Mm-hmm. And then the club closed, and I struggled for a year. And then Brooks and Dunn called me. I'll be darned, you know, all yes. that blessing.
You're so, so cute. I'll
let's
be darned.
Go into that.
Oh,
so is there like a how did they find you?
Let me see. In that year after the club closed that I worked in every band, and before Brooks and Dunn called me, I did 4 shows in New York with an up-and-coming Sony artist, okay? She found me through my girlfriend, Anita Mandel, who's also from Toledo. And Anita is the reason I was in Nashville. Her family lived there when she was in high school. So she and I moved there in 1981, and we were there for about a year. So she kept calling me. She was working for Sony. She knew a lot of people. And she said, you know, it'd be a really good time for you to come down again. So-and-so passed away. There's a hole in the industry. It'd be good for you to come down. So when I moved down, Nita helped me find an apartment, find my job at P.F. Chang's. She worked at Sony. So she didn't help me a lot just because it was really not proper etiquette mm-hmm. for her. And I totally understood. But what she did do was Shelley Fairchild was an up-and-coming Sony artist. Shelley was doing 4 promotional shows in New York. She wanted a backup vocalist. She had a fantastic band, and I got that gig. Okay, Nita turned me on to that. So we go to New York, and we did 3 showcases, and then that was my first time on David Letterman, was with her. And so...
just throws that in. I didn't know she was on David Letterman.
Well, yeah, well, you know, yeah. He's there, and Sony's going to make sure their artists get on there, of course.
Right.
You know, that's how all that happens, okay. All these labels and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we did 3 showcases, and then we did the David Letterman. Well, the David Letterman band stayed for our sound check, and they... were clapping for me and pointing at me and giving me thumbs up. And I'm looking around like, are you talking to me? Mm-hmm. I was just a backup singer, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were like, yes, you. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, thank you. Okay. So I was, you know,
Hi.
Okay, yeah, hey, thank you for that, you know? And
what's
I didn't think
name?
Anything
what's,
of it.
What's the bald guy's name?
The keyboard player. Yep. He wasn't there. It was all the other band.
Paul Schaefer, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I said Jeff.
Jeff.
Well, you know, we all know the bald guy that plays keyboards.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot that name, but yes.
But it was all the other band. He wasn't there, but okay. It was everybody else. Mm-hmm. It was very sweet. And I have to tell you this story. So we went out, one of the Sony guys, like the vice president, I believe, it was his birthday. So we went to the Plaza Hotel to have very expensive cognac or whatever, you know, schmoozing. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I went now because, you know, I like to schmooze and I'm trying to get in there. Mm-hmm. So we were hanging and the secretary, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I don't think I will. It's a true story. She was about as big as a minute, as my mother would say, little thing. And she had 3 martinis. Mm-hmm. Now, Trez Gregory's school of etiquette is, have 1 glass of wine, sip it slowly, have lots of water, don't get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there next to her, and when she ordered the 3rd one, I just put my hand on her leg and I said, I'll make sure that you get back to your room. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, okay, thank you. So I did that, you know. Lo and behold, and I believe that was in like September. So when we got back to Nashville, and it was October or November, Brooks and Dunn emailed Sony and said, we need 3 more vocalists for our performance on the CMA Awards, which at that time was always done in Nashville. Well, she put my name at the top of the list.
Oh, wow.
1, because I saved her. And 2, because I did a good job with Shelley. You know, I did.
Yes.
I saved her.
Right? Yeah.
Bless her heart. So that was my first Brooks and Dunn experience. So I go there, we're doing the CMAs. I'm really nervous. I was about 6 minutes later than I wanted to be. I didn't know where I was going. I went by myself. I was like, oh, Lord, what is this? What do I wear? Yikes, you know, everything. So we were in the dressing room kind of going over things, and the band was in there, and Kix and Ronnie came in and came over and shook all of our hands. They are very nice, and they shook all of our hands, and that was the first time I met them. So we did, Ronnie did It's Getting Better All the Time. We had six girls behind the band, and or behind him, and then the band was behind us. And I bought, this is a true story, I bought a $30 dress from Ross. I bought $20 worth of rhinestones. Mm-hmm. I drove all the way back to Toledo to have my mother, my mother was a great seamstress, to have her put my rhinestones on my dress. I got my hair done. I had some $10 shoes, and that's what I did the CMAs in, okay? So anyway, they had me right behind Ronnie off to the one side. So we did the show. Now, it was six girls singing three vocal parts, so it wasn't like you really heard our voices. And all we sang was ooh and time. So it wasn't like a big mm-hmm. vocal thing. But I got to meet Kix and Ronnie. So that was in the fall. And I'm just telling you this because I'm not quite sure. I know that I met them then, but I don't know exactly how it all happened. But I do know that in my soul band at that club in Printer's Alley, our guitar player's brother-in-law was one of the crew guys for Brooks and Dunn. So one night, three crew guys came out to the gig and sat up on the third floor and rolled up dollar bills and tried to throw them in our tip jar and, mm-hmm. you know, just hung out with us. Mm-hmm. So I did, they did see me then, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will say, in the Soul Searchers, I wasn't so much featured, but I was the only female, and I went from fronting bands to being in the back, and I knew every dance step. The gentleman I sang with was a James Brown study, so he danced his butt off. So that showcased me just because I was dancing in the back and singing and da 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 da. So they saw me there. So the crew guys saw me. Then I met Kix and Ronnie. And then in December, I was broke and destitute, singing in seven bands, cleaning two houses, and just eating spaghetti every night because I didn't have any money. And I was really kind of broken in my spirit. And I prayed and I said, look, God, I don't ever give you ultimatums. But if you want me to keep doing this music thing, you got to make something happen because I'm tired. I'm worn out already. And I'm only, I think I was 42 or something. Mm-hmm. So one of the girls I sang with on the award show, we exchanged numbers. She was doing a Steely Dan tribute show. I went out to see her. And when I went to the club, right before I left, she said, Trez, are you single? And I said, I am. And she said, can you travel? And I said, yeah, I can. She said, give me your card. So uh-huh. I said, okay. Gave her my card. Didn't know anything. Well, lo and behold, she did a lot of backup vocal work for Brooks and Dunn in the studio. I was never on any studio project. I just did their live tour. So I think she might have put my name in the hat because she had just gotten married. They wanted her to go on tour. She didn't want to do it. So she might have been instrumental as well. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe those three things. And then the bass player called me and just said, you know, they'd like you to come and audition. And I was like, really?
Well, they kept seeing your name. They're probably like, this Tress, she just pops up. She's, I mean, right?
Yeah, maybe. And then I could mm-hmm. travel for sure because yeah. they needed somebody to go on the road. And then that was a big deal because I was like, well, I work in seven groups. I can come audition, but I don't know that I can do anything else. I don't know. And so he said, well, come down, get a CD, learn the three songs, you know, all this stuff. So I did that, and I get to the audition. I've never really told these stories, but this is all true, guys. So I get to the sound check was the name of the building. Can I keep going? I don't mean to ramble, but mm-mm, this is exactly
it.
How it happened.
We like
so,
this tech. Yeah.
Okay. It's the real thing. So I couldn't find the sound check, the building. No GPSs back then, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't know where I was going. Nashville is a hot mess trying to get around it. So I had a guy from Lima, Ohio. This is so crazy when I think of all this. From Lima, Jim Brettlinger. And Jim came out to my gig with the Soul Searchers at B.B. King's downtown. And he said, hey, Trez, you don't know me. I'm Jim Brettlinger. I work at blah, 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 where a lot of these tour groups get their equipment to go on the road. And he said, our secretary is going to be auditioning for Brooks and Dunn. and I want to give you her number. And I was like, okay. Didn't know Julie. Mm-hmm. That I thought that was very nice. He was from Lima. I'm from Toledo, you know, da, da, da. So I had Julie's number. So I'm lost. I'm trying to find the audition place. So I call her and I'm like, Julie, this is Trez. You never talked to me. I know I met you. You know, I got your number through Jim. I said, I can't find where I'm supposed to be going. Can you tell me? Can you talk me there or something?
And she said, I'm not telling you because I'm auditioning.
Well, you know what? Julie was so precious. Thank you, Jesus. She wasn't like that. And she's so on it. She's like, oh, yeah, honey, where are you? Da-da-da. Okay, well, do that. So I got there.
That was sweet.
I meet you. Very sweet. Well, and Jim probably told her that. Yeah. I don't know, but that was another angel move, right? So I show up. I'm flustered. And actually, I had a throat funk thing happening. And what I mean by that is it was like something was clamping down on my vocal cords. And I never had this before. And I was, you know, Lori, you know, we've got all kinds of tricks, right? I had three different liquids with me, lozenges, all this stuff. And I'm like, I got something going on with my throat. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm just going to have to do the best I can. Well, I'm trying to think if I had rehearsed with the girls at this point. I think I had met the girls. We had gotten together to kind of go over the songs. I was 43. These two girls were 19 and 20.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And so that threw me. It threw me because I thought, there's a whole lot of singers here in Nashville. I wonder why I'm getting hooked up with the young girls that have no stage experience. You know, I didn't understand that. So, but that's okay. Their voices were complete opposite of mine. They were like dandelions in the wind. I was, you know, I'd been singing for like 28 years, I think, at that time. Mm-hmm. And I definitely like a first tenor, you know, second alto kind of voice. I was like, oh, Lord. We tried to work out some harmony parts. The one girl couldn't really hold the melody. So we had issues. And I was just thinking, there were a lot of women there. And there were lots of beautiful dresses and heels and the hot body black girls, I call them, you know. Mm-hmm. There was everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. And then here I am with the 19 and 20-year-old that didn't have a lot of stage experience. And they kept pushing us to the back, pushing us to the back. So there were like 20 different chunks of women auditioning, and we're like the last group of three. So the longer we waited, the worse my throat got. I was not feeling good about it. So I had to go to the bathroom and pray because I was like, my attitude's not great. Okay, so we walk in for our turn to audition, and they gave us these little in-ear monitor things, which I'd never worked with. And I was really pretty irritated, but I had to keep my eyebrows up because I thought, I'm not going to let you see that I'm freaking out because I've got a throat funk. So anyway, I said, hi, Kix. Hi, Ronnie. I shook their hand. I go, I'm Trez. I met you guys at the CMAs. Thank you for having me today. Nice to see you. I waved at the band, you know. Hey, guys, I don't know if they remember me or not, but I always act like they do, so I'm waving, you know. So I get up there, and I'm just irritated because I'm thinking, I don't want to use in-ear monitors. I've never used these. I'm used to wedges in front of me.
Yes.
I'm just old school. Please, can we just old school?
I am, too. Now, you know, I have to ask you, because I still do not like in-ear
the
monitors.
In-ears?
What about you?
Do you like them now? I got used to them.
You did?
Okay. But you know what, Lori? I don't have them in my ears tight. I always loosen one up, and I always hear the stage volume because I'm old school, and I need to hear the whole thing. Yeah. I don't like being isolated.
I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. I won't use them.
I didn't like it. So, but I got used to it. I had to because our stage volume was off the charts, and I would have been deaf by the end of the tour if I wouldn't have done it. But for the audition, I thought, why can't we just use some wedges? You know, it just set me out of my comfort zone again. So we get up there, we do our little, and I said, hey, guys, I have a throat funk. I'll do the best I can, but something's clamping down on my cords, and I'm just being real. So I get up there, we do our little three songs, and then they go, okay, we just want you guys to all sing separate. And I said, well, sing what? What do you want us to sing? Oh, just anything. So I'm like, okay. So the one song I went, you know,
yeah, what'd you sing?
She went to L.A., New York City. That girl's been around the world. You can take the girl out of the honky-tonk, but you can't take the honky-tonk, take the honky-tonk out of the girl. And that's all I sang. I did get that out, but my throat was not good, right? So we get done. I'm almost in tears, you know, because I'm humiliated. I'm like, I'm a vocal veteran compared to these other two. This is the biggest thing I've ever done. And I got a throat funk. Yeah. I mean, darn. I think I looked pretty good, but I wasn't sounding good. So I took my ears out. I set them on the table. I grabbed all my stuff. And I ran to my car. And then I just burst into tears, of course. Aww. And I called my girlfriend, Dana. It's going to make me cry. And I could hardly talk. And she's like, hold on. Breathe. Hold on. I can't understand you. What's going on? Da-da-da. I'm like, Dana, I just had this audition with Brooks and Dunn. I got a throat funk and I couldn't sing. And the girls I sang with didn't sound good. And I said, this is, I don't even understand this. I don't understand it. So I made it back home. I was cleaning a house and my phone rang. My little flip phone rang. And I went over and I said, hello. And the bass player said, hi, this is da-da-da-da, Brooks and Dunn. They just want to let you know that you made it through the first round. And I said,
there's rounds?
Did you hear us? What? I was like, did you hear us? Oh, my God.
Did you say that?
The other girls were killing it. They had three-part harmony, strong voices. And here I'm singing with the Dandelions in the Wind, and I have a throat funk. I mean, I was just like, I said, did you hear us? Did they hear us?
And were they drunk?
What did he say? He ignored my question. He goes, you made it through the first round. And they want you to come to do one weekend in Atlantic City. So by this point, I kind of have a little attitude. And I said, well, when is it? I go, I work with seven bands. I probably am working that weekend.
Oh, she's all, Lori, that's what you would do.
I had an attitude.
You're like, well, I don't know if I have time for this now.
I don't understand. Did you hear us?
Right. Really? Oh. And I don't think Kix and Ronnie will be mad at me for saying this because later on, they heard me sing something by myself later on, like a year later. And Ronnie goes, oh, so Brooks and Dunn hired girls that can't sing, huh? So obviously somebody had told him, and I was like,
Well, it was probably that guy when you said, did you hear us?
Probably. Definitely. Because he'd been in the band for 15 years. So
and
like,
then he just ignored the question. That's funny.
He ignored it. So he go. I said, well, when is it? He goes, well, it's, when's the thing? You know, he's like, and I can't even remember. It was either late January or early February. So I said, hold on a minute. Okay. I said, how many songs do we have to learn? You know, that's the other task. And he said, 17. Jeez. I'm like, okay. Later on, I never even knew that 17 was one of my lucky numbers. So this was yet another blessing. So he says 17. I'm like, well, okay. How do I get the songs? He goes, come down to the office, pick up a CD. So I said, okay, well, who's going to help us with our voicings? And who's going to help us musically? And he goes, oh, you're on your own. Oh, attitude again. I was like, are you kidding me? In my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be the leader of this. Y'all aren't putting me into a lead situation. I'm tired. I'm working with seven bands. I have 3 weeks to learn 17 songs. I had an attitude, okay? A little bit.
So it's almost like, what is it? America has, whatever, The Voice. But the one where you have to do everything in a group, you're saying? Like, it wasn't just you this time?
No, it wasn't just me.
You have to do this random group of people you don't know.
There were three of us that were the backup singers, and These two girls hadn't really sung on a microphone even. Mm-hmm. They didn't have stage experience. They didn't have vocal experience. And I'm thinking, I was so tired at that point. I thought, oh, Lord, is this going? What's going on? I didn't understand. It felt weird to me. Yeah. It just felt weird. So then I said, well, what are we supposed to wear? He goes, well, I'll have the management get back with you on that. I said, okay. So the management calls me. He goes, oh, just bring something black and wear the same thing both nights. I said, excuse me. I have been performing for 28 years. I've never worn the same thing two nights in a row, ever. I said, tell me something else. He goes, bring something black and wear the same thing both nights. And I thought, wow. I was like, okay.
Was it the same guy? Was it the bass player acting as the manager?
This was their manager.
I know, I'm just saying they sound like the same person.
Well, it did sound like the same person. So I was like, okay, this like is just that. Freaking it's me so out. The whole thing was making me very flustered.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we girls got together and we worked it out, but it was, we had one girl that couldn't hold her part. And Lori, as you know, you have to have a foundation right. And you have to be able to hold your part so you can build other parts around it. Right. So I just thought, wow, this is really odd, but I guess we're supposed to do it. Well, and I said, I'm
How
taking all the low parts
through the second round. If she,
well, cause they love the look. Is what I think it was. So we
That's
go.
That's how I originally got hired.
You know, I've never been hired on my looks. So I was thinking, wait a minute, wait. We do the first night. We're in Atlantic City. We're in our dressing room, the girls, and they said, "Kicks and Ronnie would like to see you in the dressing room." So I said, "Okay, hold on a second." I said, "Look, we're gonna go in." I guess I was kind of being bossy, but I said, "We're going in. We're not going to say anything." I said, "We're going to stand there. We're going to listen to what they have to say. If we get the gig, obviously we'll say, okay, thank you very much. And we have a lot of work to do." I said, "But if we don't get the gig, we're just going to say, okay, well, thank you so much for this opportunity. And then we're coming back to the dressing room and we'll talk about it. We're not doing anything unprofessional in front of them. I'm just saying." Mm-hmm. So they were like, okay. So we go in there. They give us glasses and pour champagne. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is going to be the sweetest firing I've ever had. That's what I was prepared for. So poured the champagne. They held up the glasses. They said, "Well, basically, we love it. You girls have got the gig."
Yay.
And what were
Well.
And you're like.
I was like,
was
click.
Like, did you hear us?
Right.
No. Totally. She knew not to say anything at that point.
Well, I said, we're not saying anything.
Nope.
So I drank my glass of champagne down really quick. Julie didn't drink. I said, "I'll take yours." And I said, "Okay, well, thank you." And they're jumping up and down. And I'm thinking, okay, this feels weird to me. I'm sorry. It just felt strange. And I felt like, is this a setup or?
You just kind of wanted to get
to
the.
Were they that bad?
It wasn't good, Lori. I wouldn't be saying this if it wasn't true.
Well, you
I mean, I'm not well.
But you can sing. You were the leader. I see what's
happening
here.
Yeah, and I took all the low parts. But not only it was the tone of voices, but also the fact that the one couldn't hold the part.
Yeah,
so
that's
it was it was wishy washy, right?
So do that real quick question. Do they break apart the groups? Like if you were, was it typical to go, okay, we'll take you and you, but not her, or that's not what, the right thing to do?
Well, okay, so fast forward, Ronnie came to our sound check, and he put headphones on and listened to each one of us individually. And I only know this because my friend was on the crew. And Ronnie, he took his headphones off and he goes, "Well, thank God we have Trez." Mm-hmm. So then he found out, okay?
Yeah.
So then we made an adjustment. Okay. They let one of the girls go. They hired that lady who did the Steely Dan band thing, who actually put my name in the hat.
Mm-hmm.
She got hired.
Nice.
And then from then on, it was just the three of us, those three. Nice. So that was better. And we did better after that. But I went to my spiritual advisor and said, "I got this big gig and it doesn't feel right. And I just don't, I'm not quite sure what to do about it." You know, I know, and everybody would say, "Keep the gig, Trez." But I said, it just felt a little weird. And I've never been hired for anything other than my vocal ability. And it was obvious that that wasn't the reason why we got the gig. Okay, so it just made me feel a little like, oh, Lord, is something else going to come jumping out at me? You know, and I just don't like that kind of thing, especially not when you're on a bus with nine men and you're in who knows where, you know,
right.
And I have no car, I don't have anything. You know, I like to have my security.
Yeah,
so I was like,
I can totally see why they did, because you're a leader. You are taking care of everybody.
Yeah,
and
I
you can
that.
Sing.
And you sound amazing.
And you sound, yeah.
Well,
so I think they're very smart.
Well, now after I got it, then I was like, oh. I said, okay, so you guys wanted a redhead, a blonde, and a chocolate cupcake. I said, okay, well, that's what you got. I said,
that's
the Neapolitan.
That's how they did it back
That's
then.
What they did. Yeah, that's what they wanted. They wanted
girl,
the look.
We were four girls, red, blonde, brunette, and auburn.
Like, well, there you go. Yeah. There you
go. We had to be the same height.
Yep.
Voices had a blend. I mean, they were very, very picky.
Well, they knew what they wanted.
And you had to sing. But,
Yep. But more so, they needed the look, and they needed everybody to get along and be able to be cohesive with each other. Yeah. So, all
it's
that.
It's not
so
as easy as people, like, what they see is the final, you know.
That's right.
But what goes on to get to the final is a lot.
Yep. It is a lot.
So,
So we got it together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, about 6 months later, I said, Ronnie, I don't like what we're wearing. I said, I don't feel like we look like we belong in your band. You guys are this fabulous group. You're classy country, all this stuff. I said, we look a hot mess back here. We don't look right. And he said, well, Dress, what do you think you should be wearing? And I said, well, I'm not sure because I've never done the country thing. But I said, I think some flattering jeans, some kick butt boots, and then tops that flatter each of our bodies.
Did you wear hats?
We did it initially, and I said, hats are too hot.
Too much.
I said, they're too hot.
Too hot. Yeah.
I go, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to dance and be free and have fun, but I'm burning up, you know? So I guess I was kind of bossy a little bit, but I mean, it was for the good of the group. I wanted us all to look, you know, when you've been in bands forever, bands are cohesive looking. The Temptations, the Supremes that I grew up on, all of that, they were very cohesive. I mean, everything was tick tight. Mm-hmm. And here they're throwing me, my first few gigs, I wore a $300 French jumpsuit with a big, long, sheer thing behind me that I opened up for B.B. King in. That's what I wore because they were like, bring black and wear the same thing. So I thought, you know what, this does not. I said, I can't get down to boot, scoot, and boogie in this outfit. It doesn't feel right to me. So we need to make a change. So we did. Yeah, we did. And it ended up being great. So
we have one of our question that we asked. And by the way, we're doing part two with Trez.
Yes, because
we are doing.
I just want to know one thing.
No, don't start.
But if you can answer this very quickly.
Sure.
Because I know a lot of young musicians, young in their early 20s, that want to give up because they haven't made it yet.
Oh,
what
Lord.
Advice would you give to
a
young musician like to keep them going?
Mm. Well, I just want, so first of all, I didn't get my big break till I was 43. Perspective. Michael McDonald didn't get his big break till he was 50. Perspective. Everything that you gain along the way is what's going to put you in that place to be ready when you have the opportunity. So just value your journey and quit being so anxious. Y'all
Love
have to
it.
Work.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
Y'all have to
work. I think there's a lot of people out there that need to hear that. So that's why I wanted that question.
Well, that's
question,
my thing with the voice and all these things. Mm-hmm. And that's for part two. But I just, to be famous off of singing one song a week, then what are you going to do when you get to where you're trying to get to, then what? You don't even have a clue what it's about working in the club 5 nights a week, singing 5 hours a night. Right. They don't even understand it.
No.
So I think it's, I don't know.
Setting them
Maybe
up for
that's
failure,
part three.
Kind of.
I don't know. But
that's part three.
I'm excited. I'm excited for part two because I know, I mean, my list here, I want to know where you grew up, which I kind of know, but, and then the Donna Summers story. And
yeah,
so let's
I told
ask
her the Donna Summers story. So that's, longer than this one. Yeah. So we have to do a part two.
Okay. And, can I just tell you where I met her first?
Yes.
I won't get into the whole thing. So those 7 times I drove back and forth, my last time there before I moved there, I went back to see David Pack from Ambrosia, Michael McDonald, and friends. And Donna Summer was in the audience. And my girlfriend Anita went with me. And she said, Trez, don't look now, but Donna Summer's sitting over on the steps across the dance floor. And I was like, oh, my God. So I took a moment, and I got myself together. And I went over and spoke to her. And I just said, you look so beautiful. I said, it's so cool to see you here supporting these talented people, you know, with your talent. I said, wow. I said, you look beautiful. And enjoy the show. And then when I moved there, she came into P.F. Chang's one night, and she remembered me. And that's what started the whole thing. So anyway.
That's a good segue.
So we're going to save that for part two.
And you ask her our question.
And we would like to know. And we don't have to ask you on part two or part three.
Okay.
It's just a one-time question.
But we would like to know why you are our cool friend.
Aw, because you ladies are cool and beautiful and classy and stylish and talented. I just feel blessed by it. And I mean that. I love Hip to the Groove. It's fantastic. I love to empower women, women that are not jerks, just strong, smart, and making it happen. And I love you both. And so
we love
that's
you.
Why I'm your cool friend.
And if people, and you go.
Yes. And if we want to find out where you're playing, Where should, what's the best way to find all the things out?
If they, I would love if you would go and like my Facebook page, and that's Trez, T-R-E-Z, Gregory, G-R-E-G-O-R-Y, fans. And it's all one word on Facebook, and it's a page with just my face. And I post my schedule every month on there.
Awesome.
Thank you
for
And
you're
asking.
Definitely coming back. When, when we're done, we're scheduling part two immediately.
I would love
I can't
wait. I would love it.
Thank
I,
you for I'd being with us.
Thank you, Trez.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
For joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends, I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.